This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Join us for a conversation about faith in everyday life, the trials, the tribulations, and the triumphs. Discussions about how faith matters to you and our community. Only on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts. Support for Faith Matters is brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine. Now, here are your hosts, Ryan Price and David Cruz.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price along with David Cruz, and we are so excited today about the opportunity for you to listen in to a conversation we had with Coach Marcia Sharp, the former Lady Raiders basketball coach and one of my parishioners, and someone who is a dear friend, and I think someone who is an excellent guest and with a tremendous amount of wisdom and integrity. And David, I was just thinking about the ways in which coaches can have an impact on our lives. And I was thinking I went to a funeral about 2 months ago of one of my former high school football coaches. When I showed up, it was just a packed house full of former players, and I thought that that was a great testament to the role in which this person had played in generations of young people's lives. And then when I showed up, one of the coaches seated in the pew behind me tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "I want you to know I still pray for you on Thursdays." And I just thought, oh my goodness, what a wonderful thing that sports can do in shaping us, in linking us, and in bonding us together. And I'm so grateful for the ways in which coaches have made a difference in my life. And I know that Marcia Sharp has made a difference in a lot of women's lives.
Ryan, I think our listeners are going to be really pleased to hear Coach Marcia Sharp talk about faith. I know perhaps listeners are accustomed to hearing her talk about the sports world, and particularly Lady Raiders basketball. I know we have a lot of listeners who would be fans of the Lady Raiders, but I think they're going to be very impressed to see another side of the coach, namely how faith has shaped her life, how faith has inspired her. And I think it's just going to be a great opportunity for them to see her in a different light.
And the way that she has really used faith to shape her values and her ethic, and the way that she struggled to live up to that in her coaching. Stay tuned for this conversation with Marcia Sharp. You are listening to Faith Matters on 89.1 Lubbock's Voice of the Arts.
You're listening to Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, with your hosts Ryan Price and David Cruz, brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with my friend David Cruz, and we are very pleased today to have with us someone who is no stranger to West Texas, Coach Marcia Sharp, former Lady Raiders coach and community leader now. I should say at the beginning, full disclosure, someone who I am pastor of. She is in our congregation. And Marcia, it's just a delight to have you here in the studio, and we want to welcome you to Faith Matters.
Thank you so much for letting me come. I know this is going to be a fun time for me, and I've been so excited about the chance to talk with you guys and be on your program. And I just have so much respect for both of you, and I'm glad to be here.
Welcome, Coach. It's great to have you with us, and thank you so much. I was saying before we began the program to Ryan, Coach Sharp has been such an inspiration to so many people, particularly here in the West Texas area. And I wondered, Coach, who's inspired you? Who do you look to for inspiration over the years? Go beyond the who into the what has inspired you to do the work that you've done and the work that you're doing.
Well, thank you for the compliment. And, I've been so blessed, and really I have, because from my earliest memories, I was surrounded by people of faith, people who really had a great interest in attempting to help me find the right paths, to really encourage me to have standards that were going to be important to me throughout my life, situations that you knew that there were going to be times when there was going to be a possibility to make decisions about, will I cross this line or not? And they gave me some great instruction, advice about that. My parents were godly people, and I was in church my entire life growing up, all the way to, you know, all those people that they say it takes a village, and certainly in my case it did. I had teachers and coaches and pastors and Sunday school teachers and people who really gave me a lot of strength. And Ryan and I have talked about even some of my earliest memories of my grandmother. And my grandparents lived 17 miles outside of Tulia, Texas, and I would go spend some time with them in the summer, my sister and I, and then my sister and brother when he got with us. And we would drive in every Friday because that's the day that she had to get her hair done. And we also bought groceries for the week, and that's when we went to town. All the way into town, she would talk with us and sing to us. And one of the songs that has mattered the most to me over the years is the simple, "Do Lord, do Lord, oh do remember me. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Remember me." I've reflected on that so many times, and I think it probably meant something to me, obviously, because it stuck in my brain when I was 5 years old. But it's not near how much it meant to me when I was 50 years old, or the day that I was standing around her bed when she passed away and went to heaven, because I knew that her faith was strong and had been the entire time I had known her on earth. And I don't think there's not anything that can take the place of that kind of a deep, abiding relationship and faith. And I was fortunate that I had those all around me. And I think it gave me a lot of confidence in the fact that faith matters. Huh. And that you're in a situation where it really, when it's crunch time, or you know what, y'all, even when it's not, when the great things are happening in your life, that is still what grounds you. That's where you go.
It's interesting when you talk about your grandmother and your parents. There's this line in the scriptures, generation to generation, how children are watching us all the time and looking up to us. And even when we may not be aware of it, the way that we conduct ourselves and the stories we tell and essentially who we are really has a bearing that will long outlive our life on this earth.
There's no question. I think one of the most important things that some of our Christians who have been here a while, some of our elderly Christians, some folks that have grandchildren and great-grandchildren, the most important thing they do for those kids is to tell their story, because it really does connect them years and years and years away. And I don't think there's any question that you tell it knowing that it may not impact them tomorrow. It may not be something that you ever even see in your lifetime. But I know now that it's something that when you get to an older age and really realize what they were trying to say to you, it can be such a steadying factor in your life. And that's such a great comfort.
Coach, when you were working at Tech, coaching at Tech, and you would take that group of young ladies, 18 years old, and have 4 years to work with them and to shape them, what did you set out to do? I know to win, yes, but in trying to develop their character in their being, how did you approach your work in shaping them to become a person that you would be proud to have graduate from Texas Tech University?
You know, I think one of the most important things for anyone who's in a leadership role is to make sure that your motivation is correct. For instance, if we had only wanted to win, and that was the only goal that we had, was to win basketball games, some of the decisions that we would have made would have been very different, because you can discard coach players, bring kids to you, do different things that can make it easier to win if that's your only goal. But if your goal is to impact lives and to build a program and not an individual team, to have a tradition and a sense around you that there's something more here about trying to build life skills and doing some things that are important for these folks, that becomes then your motivation every day. And I think that's something that's really important, Ryan. I don't think there's any question that there are different ways to go about what you are. But if you're all about winning and losing, you're on a roller coaster all the time. For me, that was so uncomfortable. I wanted it to be about so much more than that, honestly, and to attempt to have a culture that we thought was really important was something that we wanted to make sure that we were trying to give skills that would be lifelong skills. And
you were listening to Faith Matters, and we are here in the studio today with former Lady Raiders coach Marcia Sharp and discussing the ways in which faith and life have coincided to shape her and her stories on leadership and the cultivation of young people. And one of the things that comes to mind, Coach, is when you were talking about not winning not being everything, seeing people not being expendable, seeing that is the cultivation of that person is an important part. I mean, that's what a teacher does. And it seems like that's an important part of coaching. And it may be that some of the greatest coaches, is it possible, have never won a national championship like you?
Oh, there's no question. I think that there are some terrific coaches whose motivation has been so different, and some of the people that I respect the very most in this world because of what they have done for individual players and for fans and for even children that come to their camps and all of those things. It's such a big package, you know, of opportunities. And I've said a lot of times that, you know, you shouldn't ask God for opportunities unless you've got the courage to follow them up, because you're going to get about as many opportunities as you have the courage to ask for. And if you look at it that way, that every single person you come in contact with, whether players or people who work around you or fans or young children, you have so many opportunities every day. And that doesn't just have to do with a coach. That's in anything we do right now. They're there. If we will take them and try to make sure that we do what we think God would want us to do to try to further His kingdom, then to me, that's the greatest, greatest gift that we have as individuals and as Christians, is to attempt to impact lives in a positive way.
Coach, when we come back, I'd like to ask you to say a little bit more about leadership, and we're really, again, so grateful to have you with us.
You're listening to Faith Matters.
This is Faith Matters on 89.1, Lubbock's Voice of the Arts, hosted by Ryan Price and David Cruz, and brought to you by Covenant Health, where faith meets the future of medicine.
Welcome back to Faith Matters. I'm Ryan Price, along with David Cruz. And today in the studio is Marcia Sharp, former Lady Raiders coach and someone who is becoming a dear friend of mine. And we're just really glad to have you here, Marcia, in the studio with us.
I wanted to ask the coach about small towns and what she was saying about growing up in a small community and the values that shaped her, and how she looks back on that for inspiration and strength. Reminded me of a guy, a fellow that you and I both know, who grew up in a very small town. In fact, so small, and his origins were so humble. It was asked, can anything good come from Nazareth, the little town where he was born? And of course, I'm talking about Jesus. I think we very often have a way of undervaluing and maybe even sometimes disparaging people that come from small communities. And yet there's something beautiful about the small communities in our land and in our country that give us so many great leaders and people that accomplish wonderful things. Coach, would you say a little bit more about growing up in a small town? And I think you also recruited a lot of your mm-hmm. your players from small communities, right?
I remember one vaguely, Cheryl Swoops from Brownfield.
There were a lot of small town kids who played for us here at Tech, and of course, in women's basketball, for a long time, the smaller communities were the places where the best programs were, and that helped our sport to grow a little bit, I think. But I'm very prejudiced and partial to small towns, and it was such a big part of my makeup, and I understood how valuable it was to me to walk down the street and everybody know me by name. Now, you know, sometimes if you're maybe feeling a little bit bad about something you've done in your world, that can also be a negative. But I do think that the value system that they all tried so hard to make possible for everyone, everybody, and everybody's kids is a really big thing. And I think it's just something that probably a lot of us can look back on and know that the fact that so many people cared for us when we were younger is a big deal. I think now the goal for all of us is to how we make sure that every child that we know and every child in this community and in any other community gets as much of that feeling as they can. So whether that's teachers, coaches, groups they belong to, their church, their all the different places where they are, how do we ensure that they have enough good role models around them and enough folks that genuinely care about them, that it's not just a surface, but it's actually a deep care, that makes a difference. People will tell you who do research over at Texas Tech right now that one of the most important ingredients that they have found in a child's life is that there's someone outside the immediate family, only one person outside their immediate family, that gives them the confidence to go do things and genuinely cares about them. Well, surely all of us have time at least to take one child and attempt to mentor them, you know, in some way that is not necessarily in our own families. It's a dynamic response. Kids have so much better chance to be successful if there's just one or two or several individuals in that village that can really support them and take them to different places.
Coach, you were talking about role models and leadership, and this is one of the things that one of the areas that you're making a contribution in right now, working with leaders and trying to foster greater leadership skills in people. I would be very fascinated to know, what is your take on leaders, whether they be athletic role models or people in the religious world or in the political world or public figures, when they disappoint? Because surely as someone who's worked with a lot of athletes, and of course we're talking about human beings fundamentally, and in the case of some of the kids you worked with, young people, when they disappoint, how do we understand that they're human, and that even though we may not agree necessarily with the mistakes or the failures, but yet there's a human side to them?
Well, first of all, I think one of the components of leadership that you attempt to convey to particularly young people is character and consequence. That, you know, you can choose to do this, but there's probably going to be a consequence to it. And I think somewhere in the status world and in the celebrity world that we live in, some of that has gone away. It's sort of like I can go do anything because I'm entitled to have the opportunity to do that, and that's such a dangerous place for people to be. The problem becomes with that is then all of a sudden there are so many people who are impacted by that fall. And certainly we're all human. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's going to make mistakes. Some of the pressures and some of the things that people deal with to attempt to stay on top is almost unbearable. That's not an excuse for them, but it's just the way things happen, and it's the truth. So from that other side of it, we certainly have to probably put ourselves in a position where we also attempt to say, you know, even though you believe so much in this person, you think this is such a great role model, they're human. Mm-hmm. And to make sure from the beginning that we put that in there, because there are going to be falls. There are probably not going to be very many who stay at the height of that. We were talking about biblical characters a while ago. Think about David. I mean, you know, that's a great example of you can be a person of faith and a strong person and have great qualities, but there are going to be times when it's going to be difficult to stay at that level. And I think those expectations sometimes are driven so strongly by so much media. Nothing's a secret anymore. All the social media that we deal with today only heightens the opportunities that there are going to be things there that are going to flaw people. And certainly, I think you have to be protective of the individual, not the sin, not the downfall, but the person themselves deserves our love and our concern for them, I think.
Well put.
The pressures that a coach is under today and to win, similar to the pressures that business leaders are under to succeed, how do you deal with that pressure cooker? And has it gotten worse since you were a coach? Is it increasing with all the money? And if someone were wanting to come up, what advice would you give to them, either in coaching or in the business world, to keep some sense of perspective?
Well, I think in athletics, the two things that continually change is the ability to make money, and second, the media and the changes in media. Those have been very significant, and they continue to grow all the time. You know, I think the first thing that people, if my advice would be to young coaches coming out, is that the first thing you do is you make some decisions about yourself, that there's a line in the sand and I am not going to cross it. And no matter what that situation is, to have tried to think out when I get there, this is what my response is going to be. I'm going to guess that you guys talk to people in your congregations about that, that sometimes in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle, your decision-making is not going to be as good as it should be if you've already gotten yourself to a point where, if I get here, I will not go there. And I think that's the first thing that has to happen. And the other thing I still think goes back always to that motivation. Is it more important for me to win today, or is it more important that the image that I've projected and the things that I'm trying to be about are evident? And sometimes, as you guys know, in a loss, it is so much more apparent about the character of that person. I love the statement that adversity doesn't build character, it reveals it. And I think that in a lot of cases, that's true. I think it can build it to a point, but always it will reveal character. And some of the moments when I was most proud would be when someone would say about our team, you know, you had a lot of class. Even though you didn't win today, the things that you portrayed were things that your fan base loved and were a part of.
When I think of you, Coach, I think of that line in the Tech Fight song, strive for honor. What is honor to you?
Well, I think you can win, but to have something about you that winning almost is a secondary part, because the honor part of it is what you really want. When you think about long term, if you guys think about what you want people to say about you when you're finished with your careers, it will have something to do with some things, but mostly it will be with how honorable you were and what a man of God that you both were. So, you know, to make sure that your motivation stays the same with that all the time, that you are motivated to try to do the right thing and to be honorable, I think, Ryan, is the most important point about it.
You know, a lot has been said of late of Abraham Lincoln, especially in light of that wonderful Spielberg movie about his
yes.
life. And I think this is a story from Lincoln's life. A reporter during the height of the Civil War asked him, "Mr. Lincoln, is God on our side?" Lincoln supposedly responded, "Well, the question is not, is God on our side, but are we on the side of God?"
Yeah.
And I just wonder, sometimes even in athletics, you know, we pray for victory. We pray to win, and we want our teams to win and do well. But if we don't often learn more from failure than from success, and it's wonderful to succeed and it's great to win, but you said something that even failure has a way of revealing the character of the individual.
I think that that's probably a place where you look first to really understand a person and what they're about, is how they handle that. But I will also go as far to say that sometimes the most difficult time to make sure that God is present and that you represent well is when you're winning.
Mm.
I think some people don't handle success very well. All of a sudden it becomes about them and not about all those things that have been important in their character that they wanted to be important up until that point. Laughingly, I've said a lot about some of my colleagues that coached alongside me from other universities and everything. I liked them a lot better when they were losing because when they became a big winner, it got very difficult to, you know, get in their world with them because of what they were feeling about themselves. So I think they're anything in moderation if you're in the middle of it. Difficult to lose and sometimes difficult to win.
Coach, you've heard athletes after a great win or victory say, "Well, I want to begin by thanking God."
Mm-hmm.
But rarely do we hear an athlete say when they lose, "I want to begin by thanking God."
That's a great point.
And to be able to thank God in success, in failure, yes. at all times.
Absolutely. More to me than anything else, it's thanking God for the opportunity.
You've been listening to Faith Matters. Today we've had in the studio Coach Marcia Sharp, and we have just been so delighted to have this conversation with you. Coach, you are someone of integrity, and I consider it a tremendous gift to have you numbered among my friends. And I want to say, in success, You have been a great ambassador, not only to this university, but also to our community. And I think Tulia, Texas is pretty darn proud of you, Coach.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for being here. You've been listening to Faith Matters on 89.1.